welcome everyone, welcome wherever you are in the world, live or in a replay. We are here at our daily karma, daily and morning meditation. And as always, make sure that if you are physically capable, you begin the meditation from a stand-up posture with your eyes closed. Make sure that you begin by listening to your body, listening to your thoughts. And I'm often asked, what does listening to my body mean? Well, just freeing your body. That's freeing your body, freeing your thoughts, and becoming the witness, the observer of that which they bring, that which they show you. Incredible to take ourselves again and again into that witness place, into that observer place. It's quite incredible from so many different reasons. And very often, as we become masters at witnessing ourselves, we also become better and better at recognizing ourselves in our lives as well, not only during the meditative state. But what, of course, meditation brings into the life is really a new state, not only the mechanics of being a witness, but also being a witness from another perspective. And that's what we are striving for. And we continue with the mindsets to help us do that. We continue with the mindsets during the meditative state, which really create an inevitable, an automatic almost power in everyday life once we are mastering it. Beautiful energy is building. Beautiful. Here we are, and the mindset for today is paying attention to the difference between symbolism versus energy. Symbolism versus energy. And I often find that we tend to often confuse symbols and energy, and by doing so we lose the quality of the energy we can be receiving, because we attach ourselves to the symbol that it represents. And symbols arrive for many, many different reasons. Sometimes the symbols really are the physical evidence of energy. And sometimes symbols are actually simply forms of inspiration for energy. And don't even have the physical continuity of that energy we are seeking. But nevertheless, because we are often very eager to connect to that energy, because we're so desire and passionate, we are blinded to the difference between symbols and the actual energy we receive. Maybe I should give you a quick example of that to make it stick a little bit better. And one of the examples, just recently, I was in one of the classes teaching the children, and I've decided to actually, I was kind of inspired. It wasn't an instant decision, but I was inspired as I walked in, and usually they have their classes very set up for me and prepared in advance, and I walk in and they're all sitting in half a circle and waiting, or a full circle often. And here it is, one of these days, I'm coming in and they, I guess, did not expect me this early, or there was a few minutes where they were not prepared, and I watched them work in their stations, in the different stations, and realized very happily that they get to choose the different subjects they would studied that day, and that was quite exciting to see. And one of those subjects was history, and of course that was interesting to me. So once they set up the room, and I continued watching them do that, and I asked the question, you know, did they ever think that meditation was ever done in history? Was, you know, meditation ever done 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, or maybe 4,000 years ago? And many of them agreed that meditation, yes, was probably done many, many thousand years ago. And as a lot of the children in the class actually have parents that meditate, they have expressed that, yes, we, you know, 4,000 years ago, they were very happy actually to answer that, because they probably knew it. So I suggested that we would do one of those meditations that had to do with prana, which comes from thousands of years ago. And I believe only one child in one of the classes actually ever heard of prana, because their grandfather did that meditation. But most others when they heard prana, they thought of piranha, which is a fish, of course. Piranha. And I guess that would be an interesting symbol we could use to remind them of the prana meditation. So I picked up on it, and I decided that, well, if prana sounds so much like piranha, then why don't we simply imagine a very large piranha fish standing in the middle of the classroom I teach the children the five gifts that meditation brings. And here it is. It's a friendly piranha standing a huge, huge, very big, all the way from the floor to the ceiling, friendly piranha, standing there in the middle of the class with its fins holding gift boxes. And in each gift box, there is a gift that it brings. And the gift is, of course, one gift is a gift of focus and concentration. Another gift is a self-confidence. Another gift is of love and pride and self. Another gift is of physical strength. Another gift is of feeling that we belong and rooting ourselves in the ground, feeling that we have roots in the ground. And of course, all of those gifts, it is the piranha that is holding with its fins, standing right in the middle of their classroom. Big, 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 big piranha. Now, here I was telling this story, and of course, as I am in the class, it would be easy for me to express the difference. That, okay, so here is the symbol, but the real work we do with our breath, and it is called actually prana, and piranha is really just a symbol for it. Interestingly enough, it's a fish, and it's underwater, and often fish don't breathe. They have their own way of taking in oxygen and self-observe and self-witness. But here it is the complete opposite. We use prana as a form of breath, maybe just after we get out of the water. And, of course, we spoke of how, you know, we could live without water. We could live without food for a relatively long time, but we cannot live very long without breath. Breath becoming a very significant part of our everyday moment. And for some reason, it was important for us to take in oxygen, specifically from breath and not from any other form, as it may have hidden meanings in it. Of course, I didn't share with them all that, but I'm sharing it with you. But here it is. You can understand how easy it is that maybe, you know, a year from today, when those children remember the piranha meditation or the prana meditation, they may think that the fish may have something to do with it. And maybe 10 years from now, if they share it with somebody else and somebody else decides to do the prana meditation the way I taught it, they may have some association with that fish, thinking maybe that fish is some kind of a symbol of life, of breath. And they may be wearing that fish on their neck or putting it in their books as a symbol to breathing and long life. And often, maybe a generation later, it will make it into the rituals, like stones, and like animals, other animals that, like feathers. And maybe the association with the breath and the energy that that brings could be lost throughout the years, and all that would remain is a big piranha with the five gifts. And again, this is a simple example of how maybe within the ancient stories, there was an association that was made to help explain a story that was given to help explain, and it became a symbol. But after many, many years, the symbol was confused with the energy, and the symbol was the one that we would pray for, or seek, or try and collect and find, or try and empower, or be empowered by, and completely forget that that was nothing but a symbol that was supposed to inspire the thought, the inner connection to the energy. So anytime you see symbols and rituals and fires and big words, not that you should not pay attention to them, the opposite. Pay great, great attention to them. But please recognize that behind each symbol, behind each ritual, there is a purpose. And the purpose is to awaken the energy that that symbolizes. Nothing but. And please try not to idolize the symbol, or the feather, or the rock, or the stone. But give it the appropriate value of inspiration that it deserves as it inspires energy. How would we know that? It's simple. You always come back to the question, what would be purpose, the purpose of that symbol. And the purpose would be likely nothing to do with the symbol itself, but with the true inspiration of growth, awareness, love, acceptance, and understanding of each other and ourselves. And if that is the purpose, then the symbol will have an easier time serving its purpose to bring the energy. And resonance, it still always comes back. It inspires us, but it comes back to where? To inner duality, to that mindset, to that inspiration that has to go inwards, and our own awareness and attention to ourselves. No matter where the symbol came from, no matter how old it may be, no matter how famous or unfamous it may be, it is likely simply a symbol, a ritual, to inspire one and only one purpose, our own personal growth through love and acceptance and connection and awareness. Others, for us to be able to do that, of course, discover our own uniqueness, our own individuality, will make it possible for us to appreciate others' uniqueness and others' individuality, inspired by symbols, inspired by ancient rituals, inspired by feathers, rocks, piranhas, or anything else of this world. Now, how does it express in our meditation today? Oh, simple. How many times in our meditation we close our eyes, relax, and we feel heat, or we go into a posture or a movement, or we see an image, a story, a color, or we make a sound, or we have a realization. And how many times we wish that those postures, colors, would become the final outcome of our work, so we can attach ourselves to them and hold them like a tool. And how often do you find that you have to always resort and take a step back and say, well, this is nothing but a symbol at best, nothing but a force expressed through me. And nothing but a place to be inspired, a moment to be inspired by, and not a moment to worship the symbol or to give it any bigger power. I often get the questions, what would that be? Why? And even though I know the answers and I can go back and share the reason, I often hold back from doing so because of that exact same reason, not to change the mindset, not to take the attention away from the energy, and to give away the power to the symbol, to the posture, to the color, or to the memory that it could bring from all the way from this lifetime, or memories from past. Here we are, mindset, symbol versus energy. Give you a few moments to internalize this in the self-regulation state right now. Can't believe how fast time flies. One concept. Very important. Can you imagine, you know, for someone to be passionate and dedicated, meditating for many, many years, and yet not recognizing the difference consciously between symbols and an energy, and giving away its power to symbols for many years. It would be, the meditation would be in prison, in the symbol. Not allowed to achieve and arrive to the energy, ever, no matter how many years, how many hours they meditate. And nobody would know, nobody, they would not know that they are held back by that. And nobody would know to correct them. not a simple concept. It may seem simple, but it's not a simple concept. Often we want to give away our power to a symbol because that becomes more logical, more simple, more empowering sometimes for the moment, because it is such a defined image, and anything that defined a time of fear, a time of conflict, we want something more defined, more logical. That's how the brain works. And how many times we find ourselves in meditative states exactly at the time when our mind cannot perceive something intangible. This is how it reacts. And this is why the mindsets are so important, is to catch yourself exactly at that moment when you need the meditations the most, when you are growing. And even though the mind is in the state of logic and tries to clinch to symbolisms just to survive, at that moment you remind yourself of the difference. And suddenly you open yourself up. And you open yourself up to the purpose and the growth that meditation can bring. I want to thank you for being here today. I want to thank you for your dedication. I want to thank you for your mindset. And I hope that we have brought one more little adjustment to make our meditations the most conductive, productive, exciting, and powerful we could ever bring them to. We're going to continue, of course, with our dynamic meditations. And this is the dynamics between symbolism versus energy. If you have a few more moments, I completely recommend if you stay with this energy a little longer, because it's building as we speak, it's becoming more and more powerful. And it will allow the dynamics of symbolism and energy to be embodied. And of course, the new you with a new mindset will take it into your day, becoming the proper companion for others, be it in your stillness, in your quiet, or be it in your words and guidance. Until next time, my name is Eric Feldman. This is our Daily Karma, Daily and Morning Meditation. Enjoy your day. Bye-bye.